Soloveitchik points out a very interesting ha'ara in his Sefer Al HaTorah that's only Bereishis Shemos, the warmth and the light. He points out in Parshas Toldos that when you look at the brachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the brachos that he gives to each one of them, you find something very interesting. In the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Gimel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, the Escha L'Gai Gadol, he tells him that I'll make you a great nation, and I'll bless you, make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. And in Pasuk Gimel, he continues, the conclusion of the bracha is that that through you, all of the families of the world will be blessed. Meaning that there's something unique about Avraham, that he will be the source of blessing for all of the families, all of the nations of the world. We come to this week's parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yitzchak Avinu his blessing, his version of the blessing. It's Perek Chavav Pasuk Dalid. And the end, Verbeis Aracha, right? Again, making him into the great nation. And then he says, V'Hizbaruch Hu Bizaracha Kol Goye Haaretz, that all the nations of the land will be blessed through your children, will be blessed through your children. Meaning again, to Avram he said, through you, right? Parak Yud Beis Pasuk Gimel, the beginning of Lach Lecha, V'nivruchu V'cha. To Yitzchak, Parak Chavav Pasuk Dalet, he says in Parshas Toldos, V'sparchu Bizaracha, through your children, all of the people of the world will be blessed. You go to next week's Parsha, for Yaakov Avinu, when in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yaakov Avinu, right, and where does he appear to him? He appears to him, of course, in the famous vision of the stairway to heaven. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Perek Chavches Pasuk Yedalid, in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, page 144, sorry, I didn't mention the pages up until now, the end of the Pasuk is, V'nivruchu V'cha, Kol mishpachos adama, so it sounds like he's getting the blessing of Avram, v'nivruchu v'cha, through you, but then what's the last word? Uvizaracha. Uvizaracha. Meaning, Yaakov Avinu is, you'll be the source of blessing, and your children. So what's going on, Rav Aaron asks. He says, we see by Avram, v'nivruchu v'cha, we see by Yitzchak, v'zbarchu b'zaracha, and by Yaakov, v'nivruchu v'cha, uvizaracha. So what's going on here? So Rav Aaron says, to really understand this, we have to understand what each of the Avos really represented. And this is an idea we've spoken of in many different forms, and this is the beauty of Torah, that there's an idea that can be seen on every level. And this is an idea we've discussed on other levels before, but we're going to take it in a very different way tonight. And Rav Aaron said that we have to understand the different midos represented by each of the avos. We know that Avram Avinu was the Ish Chesed. That's what Avram Avinu represented. That was his life. His life was about going out, about giving, about love, about kindness. And Rav Aaron points out that this is the attribute that the whole world is based on. As David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, that this whole world is a world built on Chesed. And hence, the first Jew, the foundation of our faith, has to be, what? Chesed. Just like the foundation of the world. The foundation of the world is Chesed. The foundation of Klal Yisrael has to be Chesed. However, Yitzchak Avinu has a different midah. What's the midah of Yitzchak Avinu? The midah of Yitzchak Avinu we know is Gevura. And to see this, Rav Aaron points to a Rabbeinu Bachai on Perek Chavav, Pasuk Tesvav. We're not going to see it inside, obviously. But it's the only real story we have about Yitzchak Avinu himself. The only real story about Yitzchak that's not about the birth of his children, that's not about the succession of Yitzchak Avinu. What's the only real story we have about Yitzchak Avinu? It's his interaction with Avimelech and the story of the wells. And what is the midah that's exemplified in the story of the wells? Rabbeinu Bachai says that the midah that he talks about Yitzchak demonstrating time and time and again in this episode is gevura. Because what's gevura? Right? Gevura doesn't mean strength. Gevura doesn't mean muscles. What does gevura mean? The way Rav Aaron translates it, based on Rabbeinu Bachai, is that gevura is perseverance. And gevura is patience. The ability to hold back and just at the same time stay the course. Right? Gevura is the opposite of what we might think. We might think strength is to beat them. He says, no. Strength is to persevere on something that's incredibly, incredibly tiresome, something that's incredibly annoying, something that is incredibly, incredibly difficult. Gevura means to stick with it. That's what gevura is. And he says in the story of the Avdei Avimelech, the Plishtim, that they stop up the wells as a sign of hatred. Basically, as Rabbeinu Bachai says, these are wells that they themselves should be using. Right? These are wells that the Plishti people could get benefit from. But it was a hatred of Avram and everything that Avram stood for that they stopped them up. And Yitzchak could come at them and blow them away. But Yitzchak just, what does he do? He just redigs the wells of his father. Meaning, Yitzchak Avinu, as the second generation, has to have this perseverance and this patience. And it's about redigging wells, Rabbeinu Bachai says. It's about finding his own uniqueness in persevering and in having the patience of perpetuating his father's legacy. That was the midah of Yitzchak Avinu. That's what gevura is. And Yaakov Avinu, Rav Aaron explains, we know, is what? He's the synthesis of chesed and gevura. The synthesis of chesed and gevura is known as teferes. Teferes is known as beauty, right? And Rav Aaron explains that chesed alone has no way of perpetuating itself. Chesed alone, it's this magnificent flash that then quickly, quickly fades. Chesed isn't transmitted, right? And we see with Avram Avinu, his chesed, the son that could be argued to have carried on the chesed, was which son? Not Yitzchak. It was actually Ishmael, right? And there could be aspects of chesed that are corrupt, aspects of chesed that are not expressed in the realm of holiness, right? We know sometimes illicit relations are referred to ki chesed hu, right? Like a very strange thing. What does this mean? In the section of Arai saying that this is chesed, meaning it's a misplaced sense of giving and of love. And so chesed alone, it's an amazing in that person, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's transmitted. Right? So therefore, when it comes to Avram Avinu, so what's the bracha that Hashem gives Avram Avinu? Avram, you are the paradigm of chesed, but the blessing, it'll only be for you. You're going to be the blessing, not your kids. Because your midah will be given over to the world. But there's no guarantee of how your kids will take it. When it comes to Yitzchak, Yitzchak Avinu is gevura. So by gevura, we know what's gevura about. It's about perseverance. It's about perpetuating. It's about staying the course. So Yitzchak himself isn't a vehicle of chesed. But he's bringing into the world the idea of carrying something on. It's about sticking with something, about staying the course when things are difficult. That's what gevura means. And so therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses Yitzchak Avinu, what's the bracha? It's a bracha of v'yisparchu bizaracha kol gayei haaretz. It's meaning, you yourself, Yitzchak, what are you? You're gevura. I don't want gevura alone to be brought into the world. That's not the idea. Meaning Judaism isn't about gevura alone. Gevura alone, we know what can happen to gevura alone. Gevura alone, as the way it was improperly expressed, was in Esav. Right? Gevura alone doesn't necessarily lead to the right place. And that's why Yitzchak, it's only bizaracha, not all, bizar, through your children, not all of your children. And when we come to Yaakov Avinu is Teferis. Yaakov Avinu is the synthesis of chesed and gevura together, meaning you have to have the strength, meaning gevura, to perpetuate, to persevere, to have the patience, but at the same time, you have to have what to perpetuate. You have to have what you're focusing on, what you're persevering towards. And that's what Yaakov Avinu was able to do. Yaakov Avinu was the one that had the chesed and the gevura. And that's why the bracha to Yaakov Avinu in the beginning of Vayetze is V'nivrchu v'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama uv'zaracha. Meaning, you'll be the source of blessing because you have chesed in you, but at the same time, uv'zaracha. Uv'zaracha is because you don't only have chesed, you also have the gevura to perpetuate, to persevere, the patience to transmit. And Rav Aaron said, this is why that Yitzchak Avinu originally made the mistake of thinking Esav was the one. Because Esav had the Gevura. Esav had the Gevura. Esav had that ability to persevere, to stay with it. Yitzchak Avinu has, you know, these conflicts with the Plishtim. He thinks Yaakov having these conflicts with the Plishtim, you know what would happen to Yaakov in these conflicts with the Plishtim? It would be a wipeout, it would be a disaster if Yaakov would have these conflicts with the Plishtim. So which one of my sons, you're looking at his two sons, who's going to be able, the one that's going to stand up to these conflicts, that's going to be able to persevere? Oh, it's Esav. And he understood that Esav wasn't great, but he also understood that the blessing could have a tremendous effect on him. That maybe this could bring it back. He didn't understand the depth, the true depth of Rachmana Litzlan, how far the depravity of Esav really reached. That was only seen by Rivka Imenu. But that's why Rivka understood that for Yaakov to really be the conduit for the bracha, he has to exhibit gevura. Yaakov has to awaken the gevura inside of him that Rivka knows he has, but that Yaakov is not able to recognize for himself. And that's why Rivka Imenu pushes Yaakov to do what? To act in a contrarian fashion. To be able to persevere in something he's very uncomfortable with. It's not really stealing the brachos. Rav Aaron explains the whole idea of the sale of the brachos. It wasn't a real sale. This wasn't the material bechorah. This was srara. This was the spiritual leadership of the Jewish people. It didn't automatically go to Esav. We know, as we read in the Haftorim this past week, the Haftorim this past week was the first time there was actual succession of formal srara, of formal leadership in the Jewish people from a father to a son. And guess what? Adonijah thinks that it's him. Why does Adonijah think it's him? Because Amnon, the oldest son, is gone. Avshalom is gone. Kilav, what happened to Kilav? Okay, we discussed that in the Navi Shir on Shabbos afternoon. We're not going to get to what happened to Kilav, right? So Adonijah said, I'm the next son. I should be the one. I'm the next oldest. So Adonijah thought that Srara goes, it's a function of oldest. I'm the oldest one. And so he declares himself the king when his father's feeble and his father's not able to rule anymore. And Bathsheba goes, brings the Navi, brings Benayob, like, what's going on here? And they go to David and say, what happened? Yoav ben Tsruya supports his cousin Adonijah, right? And there are others that support Adonijah, and they say to David, is this really what's going on? And David says, no, Srara doesn't work like that. Srara works by who's the wisest, who has the spiritual refinement, who has the necessary qualities. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik argues that the sale of the Bechora that Yaakov bought from Esav, how do you buy a Bechora? We're not talking about, okay, you know, the two-thirds of apartment. It's not what we're talking about. Rav Aaron said he only did that Yaakov Avinu only did that to make Esav feel good. But he knew that Esav wasn't the Bechor. He knew that Esav wasn't going to receive the Bechorah, the spiritual leadership of Bechorah. Because that's the Bechorah that we're talking about, right? We know that the Bechorim were supposed to be the Kohanim until Chet HaEgel, right? They lost that possibility. So Rav Aaron says that the whole sale wasn't a real sale. And these brachos really were Yaakov's brachos. So, I mean, this is a whole new pshat as to why Rivka Imenu didn't just tell Yitzchak. Meaning, why didn't she just tell Yitzchak? Because it had to come about in a way that Yaakov Avinu really had to stand up in a certain way that he never stood up before. Meaning, remember, we discussed this many times in the past. What's the concept of a nisayon? What's the concept of a spiritual challenge? What's a nisayon? What's a test? Hashem knows what we're going to do, right? Hashem doesn't give us a nisayon to see, oh, what's Chaim going to do? Is Chaim going to sleep 5 more minutes, or is he going to get up on time? Is he going to, eat the extra burger when he shouldn't eat the extra burger, right? Eating the extra burger could be a sin, could be an aveira, right? That's another thing in this week's parsha, about the how to eat holy, how to eat holy. So far is the whole Torah in this week's parsha. We discussed this in the past, no? Rav Pinkus is a whole Torah on this of in this week's parsha, meaning Yitzchak tells Yaakov, I want to bless you, so bring me food. What does that mean? You need food to give a blessing? And again, we're not talking about give him a blessing, that you'll always have steaks. Meaning these are blessings, these are spiritual things. Mishmani Ha'aretz is a spiritual thing. Of course, it's a physical thing that's used in a spiritual way. So why does he have to eat? So Rav Pinkus points out, I think we've learned this together before, that eating is actually one of the vehicles that can bring you closest to God. When a person's tired and you're exhausted, and you make a bracha, you eat something, and your mamas get energy, it's like directly being rejuvenated by Hashem. Eating could be mamas, the holiest thing. And that's why Yitzchak wants to eat, wants to experience that rejuvenation, because that can bring divine inspiration. It's like a very different way than I do. I know, it's like my whole life I've been working on this avodah of achila, and I'm still working on it. And you know, I didn't want to talk about it tonight because, you know, you only want to reveal so much about yourself, right? This is avodah that I'm, you know, working through the Chassam Sofer and others trying to work on this. You know, it's a whole life thing. But this idea of Yaakov Avinu needing to step out of that comfort zone, and that's why Rivka maybe doesn't tell Yitzchak. Because Yaakov has to become Yaakov. A nisayon is when you have it inside, but Hashem says, I need you to act on it because I need you to know who you are. Right? And that sounds very much like the Lion King, the king I know inside, right? Right? But Lemaisa, that's what it is. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us these challenges, and that's why nisayon is a lashon of nes, of a banner, because you draw out who you really are. You get to see who you are. And the whole idea of a nes, of a miracle, is what? Is when you see Hashem. That's what a nes is. When you see Hashem is drawn out into this world. And the sign is when you yourself are drawn into this world. And that's what Rav Aaron's explaining. That's why there's this whole charade. Obviously, the charade is so deep on so many different levels, and we've spoken about it before. But this is Yaakov Avinu activating the Gevura inside. And once he activates the Gevura inside, that's when he becomes the proper vehicle to carry on the bracha of both Avraham and Yitzchak. V'nivrchu v'cha uv'zarecha. This is the parsha in which Yaakov becomes that vehicle, because he has the natural chesed, but he has to then discover the gevura that he has. So this is, of course, just another way of understanding, you know, the whole concept of the Avos, that each one represents a different Midah, that Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gevur, Yaakov is Teferes. But as Rav Aaron says, that's demonstrated in the unique brachos that Hashem gives each one. Because the world is a world of Chesed, but Chesed alone will become corrupted. Chesed needs the perseverance. It needs, at times, the ability to restrain that Gevura gives. And that's what's called Teferes. That's what's called Teferes. And that's the culmination of Yaakov Avinu, and that's why Yaakov Avinu, of course, mitaso shlema, that his bed is the complete bed. Yaakov Avinu is the one whose all of his children become part of Klal Yisrael. Avram wasn't zochet to that, Yitzchak wasn't zochet to that, because you need the chesed, but to be channeled through Gevura. However, we know at the same time, there is tremendous pain that's caused by this episode. The fact that Yaakov Avinu goes about securing the bracha in the fashion that he does causes his father a lot of pain. And we've discussed that before, and we've discussed the punishment that Yaakov gets because of this. And we'll, if we have time, we'll talk about that again a little bit tonight from Rav Yaakov Nagin in his Sefer. from Otniel, the person that I've been obsessed with for ever since my father gifted me Rav Yaakov Nagin Sefer when I was in Eretz Yisrael before Lag BaOmer time. But it's in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, page 138, that Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Hirschwein, Reb Shlita in his Sefer, has a very important comment that I'd like to relate to what we spoke about at Shal Shudis. Some of you were at Shal Shudis, most of you were not at Shal Shudis. Certainly most of the people listening to this were not Shal Shudis. So I think there's a very worthy comment, very worthy Meshech Chachma, that my nephew showed to me, that we shared at Shal Shudis that connects to this idea here in this week's Parsha. In Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk, one second, is it Lamed Gimel? Yeah, Lamed Gimel. Vayecherad Yitzchak Charada Gedola Admaod. Now that's a very strong, strong term, right? Vayecherad Yitzchak Charada Gedola Admaod. Yitzchak was petrified. Petrified. Rashi quotes two pshatim. He quotes Targum, Lashon Tmiya, that he was just like totally, totally bewildered. He was just like, what's going on? What's happening? Like, he didn't get it. Wait, who are you? But what's the Medrash? Ra Gehenem Psucha Mitachtav. He saw the gates of hell opening up under him. Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Hirschweinrib says, what's Yitzchak Avinu experiencing here? Yitzchak Avinu is experiencing the pain of disillusionment. Disillusionment means when a person's strongly held assumptions that maybe you lived much of your life based on, are proven to be false. He says it's one of the most painful things a person can experience. It very often is life-changing. It could shatter a person. But the Torah is sharing that this is the emotion that Yitzchak Avinu is experiencing, the absolute devastation of disillusion. And what's the disillusion? At this moment, that Esav wasn't who he thought he was. And he misjudged Yaakov. Two people so close to him, and he totally got it wrong. Meaning the gates of hell opened up beneath him, he realized how close he was to it. Imagine if he would have given the spiritual leadership over to Esav. And Rabbi Dr. Weinrib says that this narrative in the Torah, that the Torah shares this with us, he says it should be a source of solace to us when we're confronted. Because he says we'll all be confronted with recognizing mistakes and fundamental assumptions and choices that we make. And he says it's incredibly painful. Again, Vayechrad Yitzchak Charada Gedola Ad Ma'od. He is, as we just said, the epitome of gevura, of perseverance, of patience. And yet, what's happening to him right here? He's totally thrown off his game. Yitzchak Avinu is anything but a gibor at this moment. He has to recover and once again exhibit that gevura, that you have to go on in times of great challenges. But Rabbi Weinreb beautifully writes that this is the devastation of disillusionment. That's what Yitzchak Avinu is going through. We related it to a Meshech Chachma at the end of Parshas Chayisara. Because the Meshech Chachma at the end of Chayisara, Perek Chafei Pasuk Tes, the top of page 122, points out, V'yikbru oso Yitzchak v'yishmol banov el ma'or samachpela, that Avram Avinu dies, and Yitzchak and Yishmael bury him. And Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Baba Basra, Mikan she'osa Yishmael tshuva, v'holach es Yitzchak lefanov. That we see from this pasuk, the Gemara in Baba Basra says, Tazayin amid beis, that Yishmael did tshuva, and Yitzchak, how do we know he did tshuva? He let Yitzchak go before him. So, we know, what did Yishmael have to do tshuva from? Rashi, earlier in the Torah, in Vayera, in Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Tes, top of page 96, says Vatera Saras ben Hagar Hamitzris Asher Yaldol Avram Mitzachek. That Saras sees the ben Hagar Hamitzris, the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, that she gave birth to Avram Mitzachek. So first of all, why doesn't it just say she saw Yishmael? What's going on here? So Rashi says Mitzachek. If you look in Rashi, first Rashi there, page 96. Loshon avodas kochavim. Davar acher loshon gili arayis. Davar acher loshon ritzicha. That, what does mitzachek mean? Idolatry. Rashi says another pshat, it's adultery. Another pshat, it's murder. So Sarah saw basically Yishmael engaging in the big three aveiros. This is what we know is wrong with Yishmael. So when we see Yishmael doing tshuva, pashas is, what tshuva is he doing? That he's not doing those things anymore. The Meshech Chachma says, how does the Gemara know that from the fact that he let Yitzchak go before him? What does that mean? So the Meshech Chachma says that he doesn't think, not that Rashi's pshat is incorrect, it could also be true, but he says the pshat he likes in Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Tes is the pshat of the Sfarno. What does it mean, Vatera Saras ben Hagar HaMitzvah Sheshel de Lavra Mitzachek? What does it mean that she saw Yishmael being Mitzachek? Like making a joke? What, making a joke of what? So you look in the beginning of this week's parsha. Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram holidus Yitzchak. Why does it have to say Avram holidus Yitzchak? So Rashi, the second line, page 24, tells us, third line, Shekasov ha-kasov Yitzchak ben Avram, Huskak lomer Avram holidus Yitzchak, lefi sheyu litzani adar omrim, me avimelech nisabra sara. Right? That it says, Avram holed as Yitzchak, that Hashem had to make Yitzchak look like Avram. Why? Because you know what the late Sanei Hadar were saying, the mockers, the scorners of the generation were saying? They were saying, who is Yitzchak's real father? Avimelech. Why? Sarah's married to Avram for so many years, doesn't have a child, she's taken one night by Avimelech, and lo and behold, soon thereafter, she has a child. Wow, amazing. Elamai, who's the father? Avimelech's really the father. Taich is a Sfarna. Look at the Pasuk again. Chaf Aleph Tes. V'teira Saras ben Hagar HaMitzvus Ashe Yolda La'Avram Mitzachek. That Saras saw the ben Hagar HaMitzvus. Why doesn't it just say Yishmael? It says ben Hagar HaMitzvus Ashe Yolda La'Avram Mitzachek. You know what Mitzachek? You know what joke he was saying? You know what he was mocking? He was saying, Yitzchak is not really my brother. He says, I'm the Ben Avram. But you know who Yitzchak's father is? Avimelech. He's not really my brother. This is all a farce. This is all a joke. He's not really my brother. Everyone's making a mistake. Right? Yishmael, that was the joke. And that's why Sarah sees him as the Ben Hagar. Who are you? You happen to be born to Avram, but you're not Ben Avram. You're Ben Hagar HaMitzris. Asher Yoldel Avram, but that's not who your Yichus is. Your Yichus is Ben Hagar HaMitzris. My son is, and that's why she says he has to get out of here. Tell me, if she tells Avram, Yishmael's worshipping idols, he's committing adultery, he's killing people. Avram would be like, yeah, but he's not such a bad guy. Why do we have to kick him out? You think Avram would have given her a hard time? You're right, we got to get him out of here. But it makes more sense when Sarah comes and says he's saying that Yitzchak's not really your son. Then Avram's like, okay, obviously Yitzchak's my son. It's just a stupid joke that everyone's saying. Don't worry, don't listen to him. It makes more sense that Avram is not on the exile train for Yishmael right away. Because is it really okay? He's saying that about Yitzchak. Okay, Yitzchak looks exactly like me. No one's going to believe him, right? But instead, and that's why Hashem has to tell Avram, no, listen to Sarah. Get rid of him. She's right. She's right. Garish ben ha'oma hazos. V'gam esav ben ha'oma l'gayis. And that's why Hashem tells him, the ben ha'oma, I will also make a great nation, ki zarachahu, because he is your child. But he's the ben ha'oma. He's not your Yoresh. That's what Hashem, and look at the back and forth, the dialogue between Sarah and Avram, between Avram and Hashem. There's a lot of rias, a lot of support for what the Sfarno is saying. So now, look again at the end of Chaye Sarah. Now we know how this pasuk is a raya, how this pasuk is a proof that he did tshuva. Because what does the pasuk say? 122, Vayikbru oso Yitzchak v'yishmel banav el ma'aras ha-machpelah. The Gemara says the fact that Yitzchak is mentioned first, the fact that Yishmael lets Yitzchak go first, means what does Yishmael do tshuva on? What did he finally admit? He finally admitted that who was Avram's son? Yitzchak. That Yitzchak was Avram's son. What an unbelievable lesson from Yishmael. He lived his whole life saying, no, I'm the son, Yishmael's not the son, I'm the son, Yishmael's not the son, Yitzchak's not the son, I am not Yitzchak. His whole life, Yitzchak's a faker, I'm the only real one, I'm the real son, I'm the real Yorish. He's cheating me. And then finally the time comes, B'seva Tova. Avram comes to Seva Tova when he recognizes, Yishmael says, okay, I understand Yitzchak is the real Yorish. I realize I've been living a lie, and he knows it's a lie. He knows Yitzchak is really. Wow, you look at the Meshech Chachma, he explains it, how Yishmael knew, but he was living a lie. He was pretending that. What a lesson from Yishmael, right? People wonder why there's a Tana Rebbe Yishmael. Do you understand this lesson of tshuva? It's very similar to Yitzchak goes through the disillusionment that was forced upon him. Oh my gosh. Yishmael comes to it on his own. He comes to realize and comes to admit that, you know, I've been living a lie. The assumptions and the values that I've been trying to live by, I know are really a lie. That's a very difficult thing to admit. And it's a very deep tshuva that Yishmael does. And it's a very deep lesson about tshuva for each and every one of us, to learn from Yishmael. And to learn the salus from Yitzchak, even Yitzchak Avinu, Nezer Begvura, V'yechrad Yitzchak Charad G'dol Ad Ma'od. That we can't hide away from questioning the assumptions and the fundamental choices at times. We always have to be holding ourselves up to questioning and thinking and re-examining. And that, I think, is also a very important lesson from Yitzchak and also a lesson from Yishmael. The idea that we didn't get to tonight, a beautiful idea from Rav Yaakov Nagin, is just reading Parshas Toldos and looking for the similarities that are going to come up later. And we've spoken about it before. The Zohar talks about this, the punishments that Yaakov goes through for lying to his father, the trait of Sheker that Rivka seems to have a smattering of from her home of Besuel and Lavan that she puts in a Yaakov that unfortunately comes back with the Shvatim numerous times. And it's Rav Yaakov Nagin says that, you know, even when you have to do something you're so convinced of, understand their ramifications. The ends don't always justify the means. They might make you need to do certain things, but it doesn't necessarily make them just. And he says Chazal sees punishments for Yaakov, for Rivka. In what happens in Parshas Toldos. You know, Maisa Avasim and Labanim, unfortunately the Ramban points out, isn't only for good things. Maisa Avasim and Labanim, in terms of the tsaris that we have to experience from B'nai Yishmael, because of mistreatment of Yishmael and Hagar by our holy ancestors. And Yaakov Nagin says that, you know, we have to really be careful and we have to think about what we perpetuate. We have to think about the midos that we use. And, you know, we might be so convinced of our cause, but even when we're so convinced of our cause, how careful we have to be in going about it. And, you know, like, you just think about some of the protests, Rachmana Litzlan, going on in Eretz Yisrael. Might have the greatest cause in the world. But does that mean that these means are acceptable? The sinna it's generating. The Chilul Hashem it's creating. It's a Kiddush. There people tell you it's Kiddush. I don't understand how that can be. And as Rav Nagin says, you have your cause, but just because you have the greatest cause in the world, take a step back and look at the means. Are these means really appropriate? Are there going to be any negative aftershocks from these means? And it doesn't mean not to use them. If you have to, you have to. But understand there are always implications. There's always aftershocks. You know, when Rivaldi talks about parenting, you know, talking about
anger under what circumstances and this and that. No, but you have to understand that if there's ever anger, even if you're convinced there has to be anger, yet understand what it might come from it. Right? If you understand, like, you know, the old line about the parents, you know, saying something that's not exactly true in front of a child, you know. You know, and everybody, Fran's famous mashal, it's everyone's famous mashal, the child cheats on a test, parents go crazy at the kid, and then the phone rings, Dad, it's Mr. Goldberg, oh, tell him I'm not home. Right? You have to understand the aftershocks of everything that we do. And he says in Parshas Toldos, it's a very, they're really the Zohar and many Medrashei Chazal that call them to task for things that happened in Parshas Toldos. You know, the fact, the Zohar says explicitly, the fact that, you know, what does Rivka put on Yaakov's arm and shoulder? What does she put on him? Sir Izim. Yeah, what do the brothers take and cut up and use the blood of to deceive Yaakov Avinu? The blood of Izim, the Sir Izim, the same thing. I mean, and there are many, many such nuances in the text that are picked up by Chazal. And as Rav Nagin says, it just teaches us you have to be so careful. You know, when you have the greatest causes in the world, you have to be so, so careful about how you go about them, because people are so often convinced in the righteousness of what they believe in and the cause that they're fighting for, that sometimes they forget how you're supposed to fight. And that will end with Chanukah Vart, because, come on, Chanukah's right around the corner, Chevra. Chanukah's here. I love Chanukah. I love Chanukah. Not only because it's my birthday, I love Chanukah. There's so many lights to pick up on Chanukah. It's like all the, you know, all the video games, and you pick up all the coins, free coins. Chanukah's the free coins. That's why you give the gelt. Hashem is just giving us so much on Chanukah. There's so much to take in on Chanukah. They say when you read Parshas Chayisar already, the scent of Chanukah is out. We discussed that years ago from Rav Wolfson. The scent of Chanukah is released when the cave is opened in Parshas Chayisar. I know, it sounds like Aladdin, right? But no, but really, like, Lahavdil. The scent of Chanukah comes out when the cave is opened in Parshas Chayisar. But the idea is that in Al HaNisim, we know, in Al HaNisim, I don't have a sitter, but we say, it's been a year, right? Kiborim b'yad chaloshim, rabim b'yad ma'atim, right? That the miracle that Rabim, that Giborim Yad Chaloshim, that the strong, meaning the physically strong Greeks, fell to the weak, the Kohanim, that we think these Kohanim had big muscles, you know, we make them look like big muscles, and they were Chaloshim, they were weak. Rabim Bamatim, many in the hands of the few. Temeim Biat Tahorim, Rishon Biat Tzadikim, Zaydim Biat Oskei Sarasecha. One second. Like, I understand the first two are miraculous, but isn't the world supposed to be that Rishon fall to the Tzadikim? That Temeim fall to the Torah, that Zaydim, the purposeful sinners, fall to the Oskei Torah? No, you hear the question? It's a good question, no? It's a geshmaka question. No? Never been bothered by it? I remember the first time I heard the question, I'm like, hey, I knew that bothered me for years for a reason. But mom, I realized, like, I've been thinking about that, you right? So it's such a beautiful teretz. I heard it quoted b'shem Rav Kalmanovich, the Mir Rosh Hashiva from Brooklyn. Goldie Sorotkin's grandfather. The Rav Kalmanovich says, heard from a Talmud of his, you know Pshat is? The Pshat is that it's a miracle that a Rasha falls to a Tzaddik. You know why? Because a Tzaddik doesn't fight the way a Rasha fights. Rasha fights dirty. Someone whose tummy fights like a behemachaya. Zaydim will do things that an Osek Petar should never do. So that's why it's a miracle. It's a miracle that Rishon Biad Tzadikim, Temeim Biad Torim, Zaydim. Isn't it good pshat? It's a geshmak of pshat. Because when we have a righteous cause, we have to know that righteous cause doesn't mean we do anything in the name of that cause. And you have to be so careful. And there's a lekach, meaning Chazal see a lesson in Parshas Toldos, warning us of that. Have the greatest question, and again, as we said from Rabbaran, that this is about Yaakov Avinu stepping up and learning to become a gibor and activating that koach inside of him. But yet numerous Medrashei Chazal say that this might have been necessary, but there was payback. there was payback many times over for the pain caused to Yitzchak, for the deception that they did. And so Hashem should just help us that not only our causes should be righteous, but the means by which we go about achieving our causes should also be righteous and blessed. Get ready for Chanukah, Chevra. We're getting ready.